Back with another episode of Brick House. We got a special guest on the show today.
Thanks, Bob, but you know, I'm here every week.
I'm Bob Johnson. We're joined by my dad, Tom Johnson, today. Welcome to the show, Dad.
Howdy, guys. Glad to be here.
Oh, this is great.
So today we're going to do a little walk through basketball memory lane, see what Dad can remember from the NBA before it was televised. We'll talk a little bit about the Houston Rockets, and I'm going to put you guys head-to-head in a battle of the Brick House game show.
Oh, wow.
Oh, boy, that sounds great.
But first off, I wanted to talk a little bit about the breaking news last night as the Golden State Warriors streak is finally over.
I almost couldn't get out of bed this morning. Everything was dark and...
Yeah, but what about the Lakers and the Rockets? I mean, come on.
The Lakers' losing streak is now at 6.
Exactly,
yes,
we could... exactly. And the Rockets are there.
Yeah.
The Rockets are at 500.
And, you know, they did some bro hugs out in the middle, you know, Dwight Howard, Kobe.
They all love each other.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, it's just one giant love fest.
Yeah, I'm sure Kobe and Dwight went and had dinner together afterwards.
Yeah.
Spent a little time in Dwight's bouncy castle.
Does he have one of those?
That's what he lives in, actually.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I just read a quote from Kobe after the game. He was saying that when they played together, he tried to bring out the best of them, and that included pushing buttons. But that's just Kobe's style. He just pushes everybody's
mm-hmm.
buttons.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you compare Kobe to Michael Jordan, though, who was the better motivator? Who was the bigger a-hole to keep people going? Huh?
I think people were more terrified of Michael Jordan.
Right.
So does that make him the better leader?
Yeah, probably.
whoever terrifies you more?
He had a much bigger hands, too, so if he punched you, it probably hurt a lot more than Kobe.
And a lot more rings, too.
Yeah.
One more.
Well, that's true. That's true. If we're talking about rings, then you got to go back to the Celtics, 50s and 60s.
Yeah, yeah. You were watching those games, right?
Sure I was. In my diapers, I was.
Tell us about the invention of basketball, Dad.
Oh, thanks, Bob. Thanks, Bob. But, you know, Dr. Naismith and I, we were neighbors. You know,
yeah.
It was me that lent him the peach basket.
Yeah. I always thought it was interesting how they didn't think to cut the hole in the bottom of the basket until later, so they had to poke it out and poke it back
out of
the top.
Yeah, how many years did they go running up the stairs to the balcony to pull the ball out?
And they named the Hall of Fame after him.
Yeah, he's not that smart. Like the kid, this kid comes running up, like, Mr. Naismith, Dr. Naismith, I have an idea. And like, Jimmy, you and your silly ideas, I invented basketball.
I bet Vivek Ranadive has paid like five guys $1 million each to see if they could go back to peach baskets. Maybe that would be an advantage to the Kings.
Yeah,
somehow.
It would slow it down a little. That would really kill the fast break. I saw a tweet that said, Dolph Schayes passes at age 73, and someone replied, why is this news? Was he known as a ball hog his entire career? That was good. Yeah.
Okay, let's quit beating around the bush. Let's put you guys head-to-head on the Brick House game show.
Who cares?
So just for parody's sake, I prepped my dad with the topics that we'd be going over, and
okay.
Matt's going into this cold.
All right.
So we'll see how it is.
You shouldn't have telegraphed that, Bob. Now I'm just going to look stupid.
Well, I don't know if you listened to last week's episode, but I was on fire last week.
Matt shot like 95% on the Brick House.
I pulled
questions.
A reverse Kobe, Bob.
And maybe you guys will recall this incident from 1997 before an Orlando Magic pregame against the Houston Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
Forward Charles Barkley was arrested for throwing a man through a glass window.
Plate glass window, that's right.
So the question is, after throwing a guy through the first floor window in a bar, Charles had to go in front of the judge. And the judge asked him, or he said, your sanctions are community service and a fine. Do you have any regrets? That's the question.
I'm sure
do you
a
know
lot.
What Charles Barkley told the judge?
So I think what he said was, you know, I'm just sorry it was a first floor window.
That's I'll accept the answer. Yes, I regret we weren't on a higher floor was the exact quote. Point for Dad. Well done. All right, here's the second question, also a Barkley quote. Complete this. That's a two-word sentence. This is what Barkley said to 300-pound teammate Stanley Roberts when he was a Houston Rocket teammate. He says, he's yelling at him from the sideline, apparently. He says, "Hey, Stanley, you could be a great player if you just learned two words." Does anyone
I'm
know?
I'm full. Yes. Is that it? All right. Yes.
Technically, I would say that's three words because of the contraction, but that's okay.
Yeah. He snuck one in on us.
He did. Yeah. It just confused me.
Yeah, that's why he didn't get that
exactly.
One. Recently, Superman Dwight Howard just had his 30th birthday party, and it was themed after what F. Scott Fitzgerald novel?
Oh, probably The Great Gatsby, but that's the only one I know.
Yeah, that's the only one I can think of.
Points for Dad. Well done. That's correct.
Dad points.
They had a Great Gatsby-themed party. Their little Bun, or Bun B.
Bun B.
Bun B was there. Yeah. James Harden, a bunch of rappers. They rented like a mansion in Houston for this event. JB
Bickerstaff. So was the Kardashian there as well?
Kardashian, she was not cited, and they don't go somewhere without 150 selfies. So if you don't see them, they're not there. 36-year-old JB Bickerstaff was there, though, dancing with the boys, partying up.
You got to really.
I thought, you know, just throw Kevin McHale a bone, and you know, if he doesn't come, which you probably don't expect him to come, at least send him the invitation. Maybe he got the invitation. But I don't know. That is the correct answer, though. Great Gatsby themed party. Dwight Howard then actually played the next game. He didn't sit it out after working so hard to throw himself a birthday party. This one is all-time Rockets leaders. Who leads the Rockets for most three-pointers of all time? If you guys have a guess, you can shout it out. Otherwise, I'll give you the multiple choice answers.
Calvin Murphy. I'll go with Calvin Murphy.
Calvin Murphy is not one of the multiple choice.
Oh, options. Well, I got it completely wrong. Go ahead, Matt. Mario, show me up here.
Mario Elie.
Mario Elie. I was thinking about putting him as an option, but no. Your choices here are A, Vernon Maxwell, B, Kenny Smith, C, James Harden, or D, Tracy McGrady.
It's probably McGrady, actually, because he was there. He's been there. He was there long enough.
Yeah.
McGrady is eighth all-time on the Rockets list.
Eighth?
Eighth all-time.
Who's the winner, Bob?
The correct answer would be Vernon Maxwell.
Vernon Maxwell.
It's 730.
What was his nickname?
Mad Max?
No, Cornbread.
Cornbread?
I think so. Cornbread. You're going to have to look that one up, Bob.
Okay. You learn something new every day. Maxwell led all Rockets with 730 three-pointers all time. Second, actually, is Ketino Mobley.
Hawk?
Whoa.
672.
I see Hawk as is one of Vernon Maxwell's nicknames.
Vernon Maxwell.
Currently checking. Oh, Cedric Maxwell was Cornbread.
Oh, Cedric was. Yeah. You got me. Sorry about that.
James
but
Harden.
But he was
is,
on the Rockets, so you get, yeah.
James Harden will probably pass everybody by the end of the season.
He's just jacking them up, so you know he's going to. You know, that's the Daryl Morey way.
Okay, so this part of the game show, there's no internet allowed. So this one is about fathers and sons in the NBA. Right.
Fathers and sons. You know, that reminds me. Dolph Shays just passed.
Uh-huh.
His son played in the NBA.
Danny Shays.
Don't give them all away, because the way that this game is going to go is I'm going to give you guys – Matt's going to start, and he has to name a player whose father played in the NBA, and then you'll have 5 seconds to name a player whose father played in the NBA. And the first person to
I'm going to run out much sooner than Matt. I don't have that encyclopedic memory. Come on.
Oh, goodness.
But Dad does know, how because he's prepared, how many sons was it, Dad, that had played in the NBA?
77.
Wow. Currently?
No, in history.
Yeah, I was going to say, that seems wildly.
But okay. I guess the big question, Matt, is how many grandsons played?
Oh, goodness.
You could tell us all these fun facts learned. Matt, lead us off here.
I don't do any research for this podcast.
Research? I haven't done any research.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, Bob, you already gave that away, didn't you? Sorry.
Let's
we'll edit that out.
I guess we got to go with Steph Curry first.
Steph
first
Curry,
pick.
That counts. Okay.
How about George Mikan?
George Mikan, go.
George Mikan's father played in the...
No, he has a son that
played. Oh, so we can name either fathers or sons?
Oh, yeah. Let's stick with the sons. Do you know who's George Mikan's son?
No idea.
Pick another player.
Tim Hardaway Jr.
Tim Hardaway Jr. Wow, yeah. That works.
Gerald Henderson.
Gerald Henderson.
How about John Lucas?
John Lucas, yes.
I think it'd be the third or something
like
that.
Yes.
What's his name? Jalen Rose.
Jalen Rose, yeah. His father was the number one pick in the draft.
Brian Cook.
Brian Cook, yep. Norm Cook.
Yeah, yeah. That's an Illinois player.
Illinois player.
I have to throw those Illinois players in every once in a while.
You ready for this one, Bob? David Stockton.
Ooh, yeah. Son of
John Stockton.
Yeah.
That's right.
If it weren't for the Philadelphia 76ers, I don't know if he'd...
Yeah, well, he's on the Kings.
Oh, is he on the Kings? Yeah. Okay.
How about John Berry?
John Berry, that is a correct answer.
Brent Berry.
There's actually
one more. How
about
Drew Berry?
Oh, he did it.
That's the trifecta. Yeah.
The lesser known Berry.
Seth Curry.
Oh, yeah.
Clock is ticking, Dad.
Yeah, I know. I'm running out, running dry here. How about, nope.
Okay.
Sorry. Glenn Rice Jr. or something like that.
We would have accepted that, but time is up.
Time was up. Yeah.
Glenn Robinson III, too, also.
Austin and Doc Rivers. Dad, tell us about
Mike Dunleavy, too. I mean, I wasn't out. It was just the time pressure.
Austin Day.
There's a lot of players. All right. Well, good job, guys. Dad, you want to tell us about the grandson in the NBA? Who actually had a grandfather, a son, and a grandson in the NBA?
That would be Rick Barry, I think, except that it was by marriage.
Bruce Hale was the grandfather.
Yeah,
Rick Barry was
his
son-in-law.
Yeah.
We'll accept it.
Okay.
Moving on. I saw that there was a GM survey, this via NBA Reddit from Remy Plambert, circulated the GM survey that they send to all 30 teams before the season. And it's just a general questions and answers, questions for the GMs to answer about their predictions for the upcoming year. So I figured I would ask you guys this, sort of gauge, you know, where we think the season's going. And for fun, I filled out the survey myself as if I were Greg Popovich filling out the survey. So
do we have to pick a GM that we're answering for? Is that the theme that you're trying to go with here, Bob?
If that's what you want to do, you want to play Daryl Morey?
I can play Daryl Morey.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. I can play the geek.
Matt, are you going as Matt Baker?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, first question. We'll just go in a circle here, starting with you, Matt. Which team will win the 2016 NBA Finals?
I guess you'd say the Warriors, but I can't count out the Spurs, but I'll say the Warriors for now.
Matt says the Warriors. Daryl? Yeah.
You know, if I have to go with, you know, the statistical options, I'm going to have to go with the Warriors too.
Okay, that's a correct answer. Greg Popovich just wrote, seriously, ? Predict the final top four teams in the Western Conference, Matt.
The final four top teams, Warriors, Spurs, Thunder, Clippers, I guess.
Oh,
I think.
That was nice of you to include the Clippers in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with the Warriors, OKC, Rockets, Spurs.
A little bit of a homer pick by Daryl, but we'll accept it.
Yeah, they weren't first.
Popovich's answer, ESPN, ABC, Nike, and the Warriors. who will win the 2015-2016 MVP?
Wow. That's going to be Steph Curry, Bob.
Steph Curry,
Pop.
That's a popular answer.
Yeah.
So I'm Daryl Morey answering this question.
That's right.
I'm going to have to go with James Harden.
James Harden, the people's choice, the people's MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Popovich says Kia. Just a couple more here. If you were starting a franchise today and could sign any player in the NBA, who would it be?
Anthony Davis,
Matt says. Dork Elvis?
I think the Daryl Morey choice would be James Harden.
Oh, yeah.
James Harden. That is very politically correct.
He doesn't like to rock the boat.
Greg Darryl. Popovich says Anthony Davis and Brittany Griner's baby. That's who he would sign.
That's who he wants.
Okay, who's the best point guard in the NBA? Popovich just wrote, can I write blank stare? Question mark. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. There's a few more questions, but for fun's sake, I'm just going to put a few more Charles Barkley quotes into the next segment here. More Charles Barkley quotes just for fun. I found a website that's the top 50 Barkley quotes of all time.
Oh, man,
BlackSportsOnline.com. Yeah. Check it out. Number 15 on that list was on supersized Oliver Miller. He was a 330-pound player back in the 90s.
For the Suns.
Can't even jump high enough to touch the rim unless they put a Big Mac on it.
Well, I guess the other famous quote that I always attribute to Charles Barkley is, I am not a role model.
I'm not a role model, yeah. Number 11 on the list of best Barkley quotes was, I always laugh when people ask me about rebounding techniques. I've got a technique. It's called, just go get the damn ball. although my favorite one on the list was number 7, Barkley quote. When I was recruited at Auburn, they took me to a strip joint. When I saw those titties on Buffy, I knew that Auburn met my academic requirements.
And Bob, that's before Buffy the Vampire Slayer, so, I don't know if that's to do with anything.
That brings us into our next segment with a Barkley transition, which is our diss of the week.
Yo mama is so fat!
This is with Barkley was doing the sideline report, color commentary now on TNT. Occasionally, he not only does the NBA show, or he will go from doing the inside the NBA to actually commenting on the sideline. And so Isaiah Thomas filled in for him on the show with Ernie Johnson and Kenny and Shaq, and they were doing the Knicks Kings for the second game of the back-to-back. And Isaiah was talking about Kristaps Porzingis and how he was booed on draft night, but was relentless anyways and is doing really well in his first year.
And then Isaiah said, I wouldn't have drafted him. I would have taken a point guard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the diss part of it was Isaiah said he's doing really great despite being booed. And he said, New York's not for everyone. At which point, Ernie Johnson just started laughing. Didn't say anything, but just couldn't contain himself to chuckle at poor Isaiah's plight and history of being with the New York Knicks.
Ernie's
that
great.
That was hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, that's really good.
What's the deal with the interesting hire just this past week of Jerry Colangelo?
Oh, let's talk about this.
He was hired to be president of the 76ers. He's actually 76 years old. Maybe that's why he...
It's almost too perfect.
The weird thing about it and what made me want to bring it up is it seems kind of shrouded in secrecy what exactly he's doing there and also how he came to be there. Because it's been said that Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, had a part in Colangelo being hired. And that makes me think if the commissioner had any part in it, what he really had was almost all the part in
it.
Yeah, it reminds me of a trade from, the Pelicans to the Rockets that never happened because of David Stern.
Oh, the vetoed Chris Paul trade?
Exactly.
The weird thing about this and what was the pressure was coming on Silver and the Sixers because the Sixers are putting out a product that is 33% undrafted players on the floor. Like play time, 33% mm-hmm. of the minutes that are used on that team.
How is that even possible with all
undrafted
the draft picks
players
they've had?
I know. The Sixers are not only not selling out their games, but whenever they go and play at the other 29 teams, those are the worst selling games the lowest price.
Surprise,
tickets.
Surprise.
Yeah.
And all the owners are finally, you know, done with it and putting pressure on the commissioner to get them over the hump or get them to be somewhat of a acceptable team out there.
Good thing to be in the West, huh? When the Sixers are in the East, you only get one game with them a year.
Yeah, poor Lakers only got one game with them so far, and that's the only win the 76ers have, actually.
Yeah, that's true. Colangelo stopped being a GM with the Suns in 1994, and I'm looking back through his history a little bit here. And towards the end, he was trading more first-round picks than he was getting. So I don't know if that fits the 76ers model. This had to have been forced on the 76ers. They're talking now about hiring Mike D'Antoni as an assistant coach. Did you see that?
Right. They just re-signed Brett Brown to another two-year deal as
yeah.
well.
At some point, I'm okay with the tanking, but there has to be some sort of plan in place. It has to look like it's organized chaos instead of complete chaos. You know?
Well, putting on my Daryl Morey hat, you know, I got to have a shout out to Sam Hinkie. Come on.
Well,
he's your best bud.
Exactly.
My theory is that Sam Hinkie was Daryl Morey's, you know, super geek protege, and you know, landed him the job in Philadelphia. He created amazing job security for himself by convincing the owner that losing every game was going to be the best possible strategy for them. But I think what actually finally spurred the Sixers owner, who, despite any pressure or tremendous pressure from the commissioner, would still have to sign off on this decision to hire Jerry Colangelo. And I think what was finally the straw that broke the camel's back was the Okafor fight that happened the night before Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And in year three of the quote-unquote process, Brett Brown, the head coach, does not only have to, you know, bring his guys and lose all these games, but he's also now started to have to answer to the media about what is going on. He had to answer to the media about Jahlil Okafor and him being suspended. And Sam Hinkie just notoriously does not like talking to the media. And so I think that Jerry Colangelo hire, at the very least, is going to be a person who can explain to rabid Philadelphia fans and pissed off NBA owners all over through the rest of the league about what's going on with the team, or at least be able to spin it in a way that doesn't throw their coach under the bus. And Sam Hinkie's super dorkness, his strength, but also his curse, because
yeah.
he doesn't have the social skills to go out and address the media.
He can't put it into proper words what they're trying to do.
Or maybe he's just too nervous to do so.
Yeah. Their go-to is they'll trade the rights to an international player in cash to someone for a high-priced player and a first-round pick. Like earlier last year when they traded a random guy in cash to the Nuggets just to take on JaVale McGee's contract and get a first-round draft pick.
This year, too, it's got to be just real irony to watch Kristaps Porzingis do so well. The Sixers had the third pick in the draft,
yeah.
and their whole strategy is, you know, swing for the fences, destroy basketball in Philadelphia, all for the chance of finding a franchise player. And they passed on him, when normally that's who they would go for, is they would go for the international player, because they would help them do two things. One, maybe one day be good,
and
but two, not play basketball in the United States for the next 3 years
yeah.
and help them be
like
bad
Dario
Saric.
And now, granted, Okafor has better numbers than Porzingis. Even the rebounding is close enough, but still, Porzingis has the buzz about him.
I'm going to be really curious to see how the draft lottery works out this year, because it's almost like the commissioner could end the Sixers' tank job if they got the first pick in the draft this year, because Ben Simmons is going to be the transcendent talent that they've been holding out for.
Yeah.
And they haven't got the first pick yet. I think they haven't drafted higher than three, actually, since this process started.
So you're talking about something like that old MASH episode where they were raffling off a night with a nurse.
Uh-huh.
You remember that episode, Bob?
No.
So they went, this was Lieutenant Dish, who actually had to reach into the jar and find the name. Well, she reached into the jar, found the one at the bottom that was stuck with chewing gum, and read off the name. You know what the name was?
Lieutenant Dish.
Chris Babs Porzingis.
Father Mulcahy. So, you know, it was exactly the right pick. Because that was the one person, one man in the whole camp that probably wouldn't take the prize.
I think that's exactly what's
going to
happen.
So it's kind of a reverse, maybe. Yeah. A reverse.
I think that's how he convinced Josh Harris to sign Jerry Colangelo. It's just like, you know, do this. The other owners are on our backs about this. You guys need to start at least pretending you're attempting to win, and you do all this. Got you first pick of the draft. Well, even, I did it for a lot of other teams previously.
Yeah. In 2014, from the end of October to the beginning of December, they made three trades that netted them all second-round picks that either come in 2019 or 2020. They're just trying to build those assets, I guess.
Yeah, that's when they're going to be at the same exact place where they are.
They'll be laughing at us when they win the championship and have all those sweet, sweet second-round picks that they can use.
Maybe Sam Hinkie is like Howard Hughes, like trapped in his office at this point, just completely delusional. He's just like, no, but there's this 11-year-old kid.
Yeah.
That's who is going to change the franchise. We just got to hold out.
And he's not going to be discovered until the second round.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. After 2017, the Sixers already have traded for 7 second-round draft picks after 2017.
My gosh.
So, yeah, so you're right. When they find that stud that drops into the second round, they're going to get him. And then the Nets, Cavs, Knicks, Clippers, Bucks, Kings. Wait a minute. It says here the Sixers own
every second-round draft pick next year.
So it says here the Sixers own the Knicks' second-round pick in 2018, the Knicks' second-round pick in 2019, the Knicks' second-round pick in 2020, and the Knicks' second-round pick in 2021.
Is that from one trade?
I don't know, but then it says the Raptors received the Knicks' second-round pick in 2017. So looks like the Knicks aren't going to be drafting in the second round anytime soon.
When did the
And so Sam's going to trade for that Raptors pick? I'm pretty sure
he has to complete the set. It's like Pokemon cards; you got to get them all. Luckily, the Rockets have the Knicks' second round pick in 2016. So just in case,
so Daryl might actually get something from his protege.
Oh yeah, that's true.
So let's get into a segment about a guy who knows how to play basketball.
What the fuck has anything got to do with LeBron James?
Three words for you guys. Nike lifetime deal.
Oh, wow.
You know, LeBron James met with Warren Buffett when he was 22 years old.
I'll give you three words, though, Bob.
Yeah?
Not Michael Jordan.
That's a hot take, Dad. Not Michael Jordan. That's true. You know who Michael Jordan didn't meet with when he was 22? Warren Buffett. But, yeah, my question to you guys, he's not Michael Jordan, but Michael Jordan has even said recently that his brand is going to be more of his legacy than his time on the court. This is Michael Jordan
talking about Jordan's brand is more of a legacy than his time on the court, or talking about LeBron?
That was a quote that Jordan said about his shoes.
Wow.
And Nike is definitely taking cues from their relationship with Jordan by agreeing to do this lifetime deal with LeBron, has realized or is betting on the case that LeBron is going to continue to be a celebrity and someone of mass influence long after his playing career is over. I asked you guys to think of anything, any predictions you might have for LeBron, you know, say 15, 20 years from now.
So I have to go a little bit back into history and start thinking about, well, what does this all mean?
And what
happened to some of these guys that were great athletes? I mean, you look back and you look at Bill Russell, He won two national championships in college, taking the University of San Francisco there, and won two times in a row. And then his first year in the NBA, won a championship. There aren't many players that actually win the national championship and then in college and then go on and win it when they get into the pros.
Right.
I think Bill won something like 11 championships in the NBA out of his 13 seasons, and he played in all of the in all of those playoffs every one of his seasons. And okay, this is pre-marketing, and Bill Russell isn't thought of too much anymore. But some of us who actually know basketball still revere his legacy. You move on to Jerry West; he's the logo for NBA. You know, and he's still in the league. He still has some brand power. Michael Jordan still has the shoes, and so what ties these guys together? I mean, Jerry West didn't win as many championships, but Bill Russell 11, Michael 6. You know, LeBron, to really solidify his legacy, he's got to win a few more championships. And he's got the time. He's only 30. And he's probably got a good 5 years, 6 years. But the problem is that, you know, he's been in how many finals? Matt probably knows this for sure.
LeBron?
Yeah, something like
he'd
five.
Be five.
Right?
So, no, yeah. Six.
Five. The last five in a row.
Last five plus one in 2007.
Right. And how many has he won?
Two.
Yeah. And how many did Michael play in?
Six.
And how many did he win?
All of them.
Right. Yeah. Bill Russell. How many did he play in?
You know, 13. Yeah, 13. Yeah, he won 13.
He was 11 of 13 playoffs, but he won 11 of them.
Right.
You know, I think
does
I think
that
LeBron,
take away from Jerry West's legacy?
Well, you know, Jerry West just got lucky because he had, you know, he got the logo for the NBA. So,
Well, Jerry West, yeah,
he was unfortunate that he was playing against the Celtics most of his career.
Was 1-8.
My point is that LeBron. Yeah, he's a great player. He's got a lot of star power. He's a celebrity. I got it. But 20 years from now, if he hasn't got a fistful of rings, I don't think so. I don't think he's going to be the power that everybody thinks he might be.
But he has 30 million Twitter followers, Dad.
Yeah. Those are worth rings.
Each character that he tweets is worth $140,000. Apparently. But yeah, I totally hear you. And I think that if I were Jerry West, Bill Russell, even Michael Jordan, I've got to think that, you know, I would start thinking about maybe setting up some sort of union where all these players who are now making $25, $30 million a year, you know, more than Jordan made in like the first 10 years of his career, you know, maybe all these players should be paying their elders, you know, like a 10% fee for making basketball so popular that to afford to be able to have contracts like this for these guys, you know.
Well, you know, the popularization of the NBA really started with the Magic Johnson, you know, Larry Bird rivalry.
Yeah.
And that just continued into the Michael Jordan
dominance.
So, you know, yeah, I think you're right. I think they do owe these players. But you have to go back, you know, even to the Bill Russell years and say, hey, these are the guys that really changed the game. I mean, you also have guys like, you know, Wilt Chamberlain. They changed rules for him.
Sure.
He came into the league and they just didn't know how to stop him. And so they had to change the rules to just get him to back off and not be able to score 100 points every game.
Didn't they change the rule of you have to stand still take a free throw for him? Didn't you used to be able to take like a two-step head start and he would kind of jump from the free throw line and lay it in?
I didn't even know
that. I thought that was a thing.
Yeah, I always thought he did his free throws underhanded, but you may be right, man.
Either way.
I heard Barkley say the other day that, you know, he loves his mom and doesn't falter for anything, but if she had just had him, you know, 20 years later, he wouldn't have to work this damn job at TNT.
So my prediction, Bob, my prediction for LeBron James, if he wins, you know, 4, 5, 6 more championships, you're right. He's going to be a phenomenon, you know, many decades into the future. He's probably going to have to buy a winery on the banks of the, you know, Lake Erie and teach Tai Chi to old women.
Yeah, that's a
that's great. I think he's going to own the Yankees, the Cowboys, and the the Cavaliers probably by the time he's 40.
On the next episode of Brick House.
Jerry Colangelo, you might think he's getting a plane ticket to Venice, but no, he's just putting on his overalls and hiking boots and setting out into the woods of West Virginia to find Mike D'Antoni, bring him back to save the 76ers before he turns 77 and turns into a pumpkin. So we'll see how Mike D'Antoni affects the worst team in the NBA on purpose next time on Brick House. We'll be right back.